Chapter 19. Some house rather than huts to shelter them at that time of the year, it growing on towards Michaelmas, they found an old decayed house which had been formerly some cottage or little habitation, but was so out of repair as scarce habitable, and by the consent of a farmer to whose farm it belonged, they got leave to make what use of it they could. The ingenious joiner, and all the rest, by his directions, went to work with it, and in a very few days made it capable to shelter them all in case of bad weather, and in which there was an old chimney and old oven, though both lying in ruins, yet they made them both fit for use, and, raising additions, sheds, and lean-tos on every side, they soon made the house capable to hold them all. They chiefly wanted boards to make window shutters, floors, doors, and several other things, but as the gentleman above favored them, and the country was by that means made easy with them, and above all, that they were known to be all sound and in good health, everybody helped them with what they could spare. Here they encamped for good and all, and resolved to remove no more. They saw plainly how terribly alarmed that county was everywhere at anybody that came from London, and that they should have no admittance anywhere but with the utmost difficulty, at least no friendly reception and assistance as they had received here. Now, although they received great assistance and encouragement from the country gentlemen, and from the people round about them, yet they were put to great straits. For the weather grew cold, and wet in October and November, and they had not been used to so much hardship, so that they got colds in their limbs, and distempers, but never at the infection, and thus about December they came home to the city again. I give this story thus at large, principally to give an account what became of the great numbers of people which immediately appeared in the city, as soon as the sickness abated. For, as I have said, great numbers of those that were able, and had retreats in the country fled to those retreats. So, when it was increased to such a frightful extremity as I have related, the middling people who had not friends fled to all parts of the country, where they could get shelter, as well those that had money, to relieve themselves as those that had not. Those that had money always fled farthest, because they were able to subsist themselves. But those who were empty suffered, as I have said, great hardships, and were often driven by necessity to relieve their wants at the expense of the country. By that means the country was made very uneasy at them, and sometimes took them up, though even then they scarce knew what to do with them, and were always very backward to punish them, but often too, they forced them from place to place till they were obliged to come back again to London. I have, since my knowing this story of John and his brother, inquired and found that there were a great many of the poor disconsolate people, as above, fled into the country every way, and some of them got little sheds, and barns and outhouses to live in, where they could obtain so much kindness of the country, and especially where they had any the least satisfactory account to give of themselves, and particularly that they did not come out of London too late. But others, and that in great numbers, built themselves little huts and retreats in the fields and woods, and lived like hermits in holes and caves, or any place they could find, and where, we may be sure, they suffered great extremities, such that many of them were obliged to come back again whatever the danger was. And so those little huts were often found empty, and the country people supposed the inhabitants lay dead in them of the plague, and would not go near them for fear, no, not in a great while, nor is it unlikely, but that some of the unhappy wanderers might die so all alone, even sometimes for want of help, as particularly in one tender hut was found a man dead, and on the gate of a field just by was cut with his knife in uneven letters the following words, by which it may be supposed the other man escaped, or that, one dying first, the other buried him as well as he could. Oh misery! We both shall die, woe, woe! I have given an account already of what I found to have been the case down the river among the seafaring men, how the ships lay in the offing, as it's called, in rows or lines astern of one another, quite down from the pool as far as I could see. I have been told that they lay in the same manner quite down the river as low as Gravesend, and some far beyond. Even everywhere in every place, where they could ride with safety, as to wind and weather, nor did I ever hear that the plague reached to any of the people on board those ships except such as lay up in the pool, or as high as Deptford Reach, although the people went frequently on shore to the country towns and villages and farmers' houses, to buy fresh provisions, fowls, pigs, calves, and the like for their supply. Likewise I found that the watermen on the river above the bridge found means to convey themselves away up the river as far as they could go, and that they had, many of them, their whole families in their boats, covered with tilts and bales, as they call them, and furnished with straw within for their lodging, and that they lay thus all along by the shore in the marshes, some of them setting up little tents with their sails, and so lying under them on shore in the day, and going into their boats at night. And in this manner, as I have heard, the river sides were lined with boats and people, as long as they had anything to subsist on, or could get anything of the country. And indeed the country people, as well gentlemen as others, on these and all other occasions, were very forward to relieve them, but they were by no means willing to receive them into their towns and houses, and for that we cannot blame them. There was one unhappy citizen within my knowledge who had been visited in a dreadful manner, so that his wife and all his children were dead, and himself and two servants only left, with an elderly woman, a near relation, who had nursed those that were dead as well as she could. This disconsolate man goes to a village near the town, though not within the bills of mortality, and finding an empty house there, inquires out the owner, and took the house. After a few days he got a cart, and loaded it with goods, and carries them down to the house. The people of the village opposed his driving the cart along, but with some arguings and some force, the men that drove the cart along got through the street up to the door of the house. There the constable resisted them again, and would not let them be brought in. The man caused the goods to be unloaded, and laid at the door, and sent the cart away. Upon which they carried the man before a justice of peace, that is to say, they commanded him to go, which he did. The justice ordered him to cause the cart to fetch away the goods again, which he refused to do, upon which the justice ordered the constable to pursue the carters, and fetch them back, and make them reload the goods, and carry them away, or to set them in the stocks till they came for further orders. And if they could not find them, nor the man would not consent to take them away, they should cause them to be drawn with hooks from the house door and burned in the street. The poor distressed man upon this fetched the goods again, but with grievous cries and lamentations at the hardship of his case. But there was no remedy. Self-preservation obliged the people to those severities which they would not otherwise have been concerned in. Whether this poor man lived or died I cannot tell, but it was reported that he had the plague upon him at that time, and perhaps the people might report that to justify their usage of him, but it was not unlikely that either he or his goods, or both, were dangerous, when his whole family had been dead of the distemper so little a while before. I know that the inhabitants of the towns adjacent to London were much blamed for cruelty to the poor people that ran from the contagion in their distress, and many very severe things were done, as may be seen from what has been said. But I cannot but say also that, where there was room for charity and assistance to the people, without apparent danger to themselves, they were willing enough to help and relieve them. But as every town were indeed judges in their own case, so the poor people who ran abroad in their extremities were often ill-used and driven back again into the town, and this caused infinite exclamations and outcries against the country towns, and made the clamor very popular. And yet, more or less, major all the caution, there was not a town of any note within 10 or, I believe, 20 miles of the city, but what was more or less infected, and had some died among them. I have heard the accounts of several, such as they were reckoned up, as follows. in Enfield 32, in Uxbridge 117, Hornsey 58, Hartford 90, Newington 17, Ware 160, Tottenham 42, Hodgson 30, Edmonton 19, Waltham Abbey 23, Barnet and Adley 19, Epping 26, Street Albans 121, Deptford 623, Watford 45, Greenwich 231, Eltham and Lewisham 85, Kingston 122, Croydon 61, Staines 82, Brentwood 70, Chertsey 18, Rumford 109, Windsor 103, Barking Abbey 200, Brentford 432, Cum Elias. Another thing might render the country more strict with respect to the citizens, and especially with respect to the poor, and this was what I hinted at before. Namely, that there was a seeming propensity, or a wicked inclination in those that were infected to infect others. There have been great debates among our physicians, as to the reason of this. Some will have it to be in the nature of the disease, and that it impresses everyone that is seized upon by it with a kind of a rage, and a hatred against their own kind, as if there was a malignity, not only in the distemper to communicate itself, but in the very nature of man, prompting him with evil will, or an evil eye, that, as they say in the case of a mad dog, who though the gentlest creature before of any of his kind, yet then will fly upon and bite any one that comes next him, and those as soon as any who had been most observed by him before. Others placed it to the account of the corruption of human nature, who cannot bear to see itself more miserable than others of its own species, and as a kind of involuntary wish that all men were as unhappy, or in as bad a condition as itself. Others say it was only a kind of desperation, not knowing or regarding what they did, and consequently unconcerned at the danger or safety, not only of anybody near them, but even of themselves also. And indeed, when men are once come to a condition to abandon themselves, and be unconcerned for the safety, or at the danger of themselves, it cannot be so much wondered that they should be careless of the safety of other people. But I choose to give this grave debate a quite different turn, and answer it, or resolve it all by saying, that I do not grant the fact. On the contrary, I say that the thing is not really so, but that it was a general complaint raised by the people inhabiting the outlying villages against the citizens to justify, or at least excuse, those hardships and severities, so much talked of, and in which complaints both sides may be said to have injured one another, that is to say, the citizens pressing to be received, and harbored in time of distress, and with the plague upon them, complain of the cruelty and injustice of the country people in being refused entrance, and forced back again with their goods and families, and the inhabitants, finding themselves so imposed upon, and the citizens breaking in as it were upon them, whether they would or no, complain that when they were infected they were not only regardless of others, but even willing to infect them, neither of which were really true, that is to say, in the colors they were described in. It is true there is something to be said for the frequent alarms which were given to the country of the resolution of the people of London, to come out by force, not only for relief, but to plunder and rob, that they ran about the streets with the distemper upon them without any control, and that no care was taken to shut up houses, and confine the sick people from infecting others, whereas, to do the Londoners justice, they never practiced such things, except in such particular cases as I have mentioned above, and such like. On the other hand, everything was managed with so much care, and such excellent order was observed in the whole city, and suburbs by the care of the Lord Mayor and Aldermen, and by the justices of the peace, church wardens, and see in the out parts, that London may be a pattern to all the cities in the world for the good government and the excellent order that was everywhere kept, even in the time of the most violent infection, and when the people were in the utmost consternation and distress. But of this, I shall speak by itself. One thing, it is to be observed, was owing principally to the prudence of the magistrates, and ought to be mentioned to their honor, viz. the moderation which they used in the great and difficult work of shutting up of houses. It is true, as I have mentioned, that the shutting up of houses was a great subject of discontent, and I may say indeed the only subject of discontent among the people at that time, for the confining the sound in the same house with the sick was counted very terrible, and the complaints of people so confined were very grievous. They were heard into the very streets, and they were sometimes such, that called for resentment, though oftener for compassion. They had no way to converse with any of their friends, but out at their windows, where they would make such piteous lamentations as often moved the hearts of those they talked with, and of others who, passing by, heard their story. And as those complaints oftentimes reproached the severity, and sometimes the insolence, of the watchmen placed at their doors, those watchmen would answer saucily enough, and perhaps be apt to affront the people who were in the street talking to the said families, for which, or for their ill treatment of the families, I think 7 or 8 of them in several places were killed. I know not whether I should say murdered or not, because I cannot enter into the particular cases. It is true the watchmen were on their duty, and acting in the post, where they were placed by a lawful authority, and killing any public legal officer in the execution of his offices always, in the language of the law, called murder. But as they were not authorized by the magistrate's instructions, or by the power they acted under, to be injurious or abusive either to the people who were under their observation, or to any that concerned themselves for them, so when they did so, they might, he said, to act themselves, not their office, apostrophe to act as private persons, not as persons employed. And consequently, if they brought mischief upon themselves by such an undue behavior, that mischief was upon their own heads. And indeed they had, so much the hearty curses of the people, whether they deserved it or not, that whatever befell them nobody pitied them, and everybody was apt to say they deserved it, whatever it was. Nor do I remember that anybody was ever punished, at least to any considerable degree, for whatever was done to the watchmen that guarded their houses. What variety of stratagems were used to escape and get out of houses thus shut up, by which the watchmen were deceived or overpowered, and that the people got away, I have taken notice of already, and shall say no more to that. But I say the magistrates did moderate, and these families upon many occasions in this case, and particularly in that of taking away, or suffering to be removed, the sick persons out of such houses, when they were willing to be removed either to a pest house or other places, and sometimes giving the well persons in the family so shut up, leave to remove upon information given, that they were well, and that they would confine themselves in such houses, where they went so long as should be required of them. The concern, also, of the magistrates for the supplying such poor families as were infected, I say, supplying them with necessaries, as well physic as food, was very great, and in which they did not content themselves with giving the necessary orders to the officers appointed, but the aldermen in person, and on horseback, frequently rode to such houses, and caused the people to be asked at their windows, whether they were duly attended or not. Also, whether they wanted anything that was necessary, and if the officers had constantly carried their messages, and fetched them such things as they wanted or not. And if they answered in the affirmative, all was well, but if they complained that they were ill supplied, and that the officer did not do his duty, or did not treat them civilly, they, the officers, were generally removed, and others placed in their stead. It is true such complaint might be unjust, and if the officer had such arguments, to use as would convince the magistrate, that he was right, and that the people had injured him, he was continued and they reproved. But this part could not well bear a particular inquiry, for the parties could very ill be well heard, and answered in the street from the windows, as was the case then. The magistrates, therefore, generally chose to favor the people and remove the man, as what seemed to be Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.